Continue our study of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Turn to Lord's Day 51 in the back of your songbooks, page 895, question and answer 126 of the Heidelberg Catechism for a summary of what the Bible teaches about forgiving, being forgiven, and forgiving one another. And then we'll turn to 1 John 1 for a scripture reading. Question and answer 126. What does the fifth petition mean? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors means, because of Christ's blood, do not impute to us, poor sinners that we are, any of the transgressions we do or the evil that constantly clings to us. Forgive us, just as we are fully determined, as evidence of your grace in us, wholeheartedly to forgive our neighbors. And then let's turn in our Bibles to 1 John 1. First John 1. We'll read verses 5 through 2, verse 2. First John 1, verse 5 through 2, verse 2, page 1210. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is God's word, and may he bless us and build us by it and teach us to pray more wholeheartedly and faithfully. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, the fourth request is, give us today our daily bread. The next one is, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Both are daily prayers. All of these petitions are daily prayers. But these two specifically, as much as we need bread every day for the body, we need the gift of forgiveness every day for the body of Christ. Vertically, in our relationship with God, we need to be forgiven for our sins. Horizontally, in our relationship with one another, we need to give forgiveness to one another. Because sin happens. Sin happens. So it's a daily prayer for daily bread. And it's a daily prayer for daily forgiveness. Now notice, brothers and sisters, that in this petition, Jesus is teaching us to pray for two gifts, not one. Two gifts. Forgive our sins. And help us to forgive those who sin against us. The second is implied. Jesus puts both in there because both are needs. Both of these needs must be brought to the Lord in prayer. We need to be forgiven and we need to forgive. And both of these are divine gifts. It's not like being forgiven by God is divine and forgiving one another is human. Both are divine gifts. We can't receive or give either without the work of our Heavenly Father through the Son in the Spirit. That's why both of these needs have to be brought to the Lord in prayer. Forgive us as we forgive others. We need help in both. And both bring a great blessing to our lives, giving us great freedom in our relationship with God when we know that we're forgiven. And great freedom in our relationship with others when we know we've been forgiven. And that's the double blessing Jesus died to give us. That's the double blessing Jesus wants us to enjoy through prayer. That's our theme this afternoon. Use and enjoy God's gift of forgiveness through prayer. Use and enjoy God's gift of forgiveness. First, we see that the forgiven need the gift of forgiveness every day. At the beginning of your Christian life, you're granted a whole life of forgiveness from the Father, but you need to draw from that gift every day. The forgiven need forgiveness. But the forgiven also must share the gift of forgiveness. Those are the two things. The forgiven need this gift, and the forgiven share this gift. And both of these are brought to the Lord in prayer. How we need it, and how we need to share it. So first of all, then, use and enjoy God's gift of forgiveness. The forgiven need the gift. Our Father in heaven, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Jesus is teaching us here several things about God and ourselves to help us to pray. Just in that first part, forgive us our debts. There are at least four main things Jesus is teaching us. The first is honesty. Forgive us our debts. Honesty. We're debtors to God. All Jesus' disciples, all his children, all who have God as their Father. We're debtors every day. Now, in the context of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus uses three words: debts, trespasses, and sins. Debts are something taken from you. They need to be paid back. Trespasses are deviations. You went off the line. You missed the mark. Sins are offenses. These three work together. As Christians, we offend God. That's sinning. By trespassing, we deviate from His holy law and from His character. And that leads to debts. We've stolen the glory of the Lord. We've robbed Him of His glory and of the righteousness we owe Him. And we owe Him a huge debt that we cannot pay. And we deserve His anger and eternal punishment, but we pray, forgive us. That means let go, release us from the debt we owe to You for our offenses due to our deviations. Debts, trespasses, sins. Jesus is saying, take a good look at yourself and be honest. You have debts. Don't look at yourself with rose-colored glasses. It's the nature of man, including Jesus' disciples, to overestimate our goodness and underestimate our sin. Both the sins we commit and the sinfulness that lives in our hearts. Notice how in 1 John 1, the apostle calls us to this honesty. Look at verses 8, 9 and 10. This is an exegetical sandwich where the meat is in the middle. Verse 9, confess your sins. If we confess our sins. And the bread on either side of the meat are two warnings about dishonesty. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. There are those in the church back then and now who are not really convinced that they have sin. Here he's talking about our sinful nature. If we say we have no sin living in us, not something part of our lives. I'm the new person in Christ. The old no longer lives in me. Oh, you bet it does. Yes, you are the new in your identity, but the old self still lives in you. And pursues you and tries to take you over, and you're always having to fight it. Others will say they have no sin. They're not honest with themselves. They deceive themselves. The truth isn't in them. Verse 10 is the other side. If we say we have not sinned, and this is the doing of sin. The first is the sinful nature. We have no sin living in us. Others are dishonest and say we have not sinned. We have done no sin. No sinful thoughts. No sinful words. No sinful deeds. We make him a liar, and his word is not. We make him a liar. We deceive ourselves and we make him a liar because he tells us in his Bible, in his word, that we are full of sin. James 3 verse 2, we all stumble in many ways. Don't make God a liar and say that's not true of me. Or Paul says in Romans 7, the good that I want to do, I don't do. The evil I don't want to do, that I do. Don't make God a liar and say, that's not true of you. Let's be honest. Jesus is saying, be honest in your life before the Lord and your prayer life too. I'm a sinner. I owe to God a huge debt. Every sin is against the infinite God, is infinitely huge. And I can't pay that debt myself. I can't even begin. The second thing Jesus teaches us is humility. Don't just see your sin and realize it's true, but confess it. Forgive my debts. Forgive our debts. Humility. We need to humble ourselves before our Heavenly Father's majesty and confess our sins and plead his mercy. That's the middle of that sandwich. Don't be dishonest and say you have no sin and you do no sin. But if we confess our sins, that takes humility. Rather than trying to hide under one of the many false covers people use. Try to minimize our sin. Try to justify ourselves. Try to make excuses for it. Well, here's the reason I did that. You know, it really wasn't me. It wasn't from me. We blame others. We cancel people from our lives who try to admonish us. No, instead of hiding it, we confess it. We let go of our pride and our love of our own name. And we acknowledge our iniquity to the Lord. And we also confess our sins to one another, as James says, rather than proudly promote a facade that says, I'm not bad. Which being translated is, I'm good. But that we live brokenhearted before the Lord, confessing our sins, congregation, not just as an occasional thing. Once in a while when I flub up. But as a daily way of life. A daily way of life. David says in Psalm 32, when I kept silent about my sin, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as in the heat of summer. I felt the displeasure of God pressing upon my life. So I acknowledged my sin to you. I confessed my sin. I didn't cover it over. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Freedom. Holiness is the third thing. Jesus teaches us to be honest here in this prayer, to be humble, honest and see that we have debts, humble and confess them, but also to see the holiness of the Lord, that we have a holy view of God. We can only pray this prayer honestly and humbly if we have a right view of the holiness of God. So John says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If you walk in the light, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. What do those have to do? If you walk in the light of God's purity, his absolute holiness, his perfect requirements of his commandments, and you compare yourself to him, you'll not say, what a good boy am I. You'll say, how many debts I owe to the Lord, please forgive me. And then the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. See, these are the two options in 1 John 1, that you walk in the light and you confess your sins. It's what it is to walk in the light. You see, you're in the glory, blazing glory of God's purity, and you see just how many sin stains are still in your life. You confess them. The other option is to say you're walking in the light, but you live in the darkness. You don't confess them. You stay in your sin. You don't deal with it. You need a view of the holiness of God in which we see before him our sinful nature, the sins we have, the sin we have, and our sinful deeds, the sins we do. So that we confess them. And then the fourth thing Jesus is teaching us is hope. The hope of the gospel. Forgive us our debts. I want you to see the holiness of your heavenly Father, says Jesus. It's the only way you can see your debts, your trespasses, and your sins. But I also want you to know that your heavenly Father is more ready to forgive you than you are ready to ask for forgiveness. With God, there is forgiveness. With God, there's cleansing. With God, there's love, for he is love. He goes on to say that in 1 John 4. Hope. The holy God who hates sin. A holy God who is light and purity. Sent his son to pay for our debts and set us free from our sins. If you look at the beginning of 1 John 2, you still have your Bibles open, or you can open them again to 1 John 2. Why does John write this? Why does he say, confess your sins? Don't say you don't have them and you don't do them. Well, there are two reasons. Little children, I write this to you so that you may not sin. But then he goes on. It's to discourage sin. But if anyone does, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You see the two encouragements to give you hope? On the one hand, you have the God who sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins on the cross. Our sins are so hateful and despicable to God and rack up such an infinite debt we cannot pay, that in his love, rather than punish us in our sin, he put our sin and his wrath on his son, nailing our sins to him on the tree. As a propitiation, that is, as a way to steer away his wrath from us by turning it onto his son instead. He's a propitiation. Your sins are paid for. God's wrath is gone. All he has for you is love, dear child of God. That's the one hope. The other is, and then he raised him up to heaven where he's at God's right hand as your advocate. He's pleading for you. He's defending you. When you sin, Heavenly Father, I died for him. His sins are paid for. It's not like the Father doesn't know. He put his son there as that constant intercessor for us, that mediator. hope. Back to 1 verse 9, so that if you confess your sins, you find an open door. He's faithful and just. That's an interesting combination. Faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Faithful to his promise that he turns away no sinner who comes to him and pleads for mercy. He will not turn you away. He will forgive your sins. He'll keep his promise. And just. Just in that he already judged your sins. You owe him a debt. He will not let go of that debt. But he exacted it from his son and provided a payment for you. So he's just in that he's provided a payment and you're paid up. He did not just sweep that payment under the carpet. He had his son pay. He's just in it. So you can look to him to be faithful and just and forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. What hope. Costly hope. It cost him the death of his son. Undeserved hope. But real hope. He will not punish you because he punished Christ for you in your place. And demonstrated his justice at the cross. Believer, do not be afraid to pray. Forgive us our debts. You need it. I need it. If you don't see it, you've got to look at God more closely and look at your own life more closely. Maybe you've gotten into the habit of inspecting others' lives more than your own. Comparing yourselves with others so that you actually look pretty good in your own eyes, but you're evil. If we just have the Lord Jesus play to us the videotape of our lives for one day, including the thoughts that we had, the feelings that we had, the words that we spoke, the things we did, and had the Holy Spirit interpret everything to us, it would be a mess. It is a mess. But there's cleansing. Someone who cleans that mess. The Father, through his Son, wipes it all away every day. All based on the finished work of Jesus at the cross, where he carried it all. And then when we believe, a whole lifetime worth of forgiveness is put in your account, and you can draw from that every day. Use it. It's free. Costly to God, but free to you. Use it. And enjoy an open fellowship with God that has no hindrances or obstacles by your sins. So you keep short accounts with God. You keep the relationship clean. That's the great blessing. The second thing that we're to bring to the Lord in prayer is our need to share this gift. Forgive our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, why would Jesus command us to add that second part? Because this also is part of bringing our needs to the Lord. We need the Lord's help to forgive others. And brothers and sisters, we want to forgive others too. Because when you have been forgiven by the Lord, mercy lives in you and it's in your heart to forgive others. I know there are times when the forgiveness transaction with others can't be completed because the other person won't repent and you can't seem to break through. You've reached out. And then the relationship remains broken. But even then, like God, our Heavenly Father, remember, who's waiting for the prodigal son to return. Like God, who's good and ready to forgive all who come to him. So we must, his people must be a people who are ready and waiting to forgive those who've sinned against us and eager to grant forgiveness to all those who repent. Even though, you know, when people repent, It may be real. You look for evidence that it's real, but it's never going to be perfect repentance, is it? Who of us has perfect repentance before the Father, and He forgives us anyway because we trust in His Son? So this is the result of God's forgiveness. When we have received such an amazing, free, undeserved, and costly gift from God, we want to share that gift with those who sin against us, even though they don't deserve it. And even though it can cost us a great deal, we have to absorb the pain and the hurt done against us. Because we want to love others as God has loved us. That's what lives in the heart of the Christian. And we want to forgive as we've been forgiven. That's what it means to be a Christian. Now, let's go back to 1 John 1 again and take another look at verse 7. Very important and interesting verse. 1 verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We would expect it to say something different, especially if you compare it with verses 5 and 6. Here's what we would expect it to say. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with God. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. But instead, like John likes to write, when we're still over here, he's taking us to the next step and saying, no, but now you need to move over here. That's how John writes. So he's already moved to the next step. If we walk in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, this is John's point, and the rest of the book bears this out. If you walk with God in the light, seeing, confessing your sins, not denying them, seeking forgiveness, you will have fellowship with one another because the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ ties you to God and with each other. So when we walk with God, we have fellowship with each other because the cleansing blood of Christ He gives us ties us to Him and to one another. He's drawing all kinds of connections here in verse 7 that are really important for the fifth petition. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, those who sin against us. If you go ahead to 1 John 4, if you just turn there a moment, you see the same thing in verses 10 and 11. Beautiful verses, but look at the connection. 1 John 4, verse 10 and 11. And this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Then look at the next verse. Again, John takes us the next step. Beloved, if God so loved us, and the word so means if He loved us in this way that He would send His Son to pay for our sins, to forgive us, we also ought to love one another in this way that we forgive one another. That's the whole point of verse 11. Loving one another by forgiving one another as God loved us to propitiate for our sins. And that's where the rubber meets the road, brothers and sisters. The road of the Christian life, if you're a forgiven sinner, if you really have received this gift of God, then you know what mercy means and you know what forgiveness is. And this fills your heart and your mind. And it's something you long to share with others. It's a testimony of Christ that Christ has done for you. Just think about it. When you're saved and you receive the gospel, and God washes away your sins, and He makes you His child, and He gives you the gift of eternal life, and you're free, one of the most important things you want to do is show and tell others. Forgiveness is so essential to the gospel that you could just as well say, if you have been forgiven and you've been set free from your sins and God has cleaned up your relationship with Him when you have asked Him. You're so thankful and so blessed. You want to share this gift with others and do what you can by God's grace to keep relationships clean when they get injured by sin and offenses. And that's why Jesus put this in the Lord's Prayer. He's saying forgiveness is a package. When God forgives you, you really have the gift of forgiveness and you share it with others. And then when you pray for forgiveness, you also pray and help me to forgive others too. Help me to share this package. That's why we need to lay this before the Father. Because even though we want to forgive and it lives in us as Christians, it's never easy to do. That's why there's so many calls in the Bible to do so, because it's costly, it's painful, it's risky. What if they do it again? Forgive them again. What if they do it again? Forgive them again. How many times? 70 times 7? Well, that's why Jesus said in Mark 11, verse 25, and whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. There's also a great warning, congregation, in this prayer. If you're not willing to forgive others for their grievances against you, if you're holding on to a grudge, if you're never reaching out to someone who offended you, if you're never letting go of an offense or an injury, then the Father will not forgive you. At the end of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, Jesus put it very clearly. He put it both ways. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. But remember why it works this way. God doesn't forgive us because we forgive others. It's free. It's not earned. It's the other way around. When we have the gift of forgiveness, we will want to share it with others. And when we don't want to share it with others, it's because we don't have that gift. We're seeking what's not ours. That means we've never really confessed our sins. We've never really been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And we don't know what it means or looks like. As Jesus said to Simon the Pharisee when he was puzzled by the sinful woman who showed so much love. He's puzzled by that. Why does she show so much love? Jesus said, she loves much because she's been forgiven much. And then he went on to say, but he who is forgiven little loves little. She loves much because she's been forgiven much. Think about that. She loves much because she's been forgiven much. But he who's forgiven little loves little. As Sinclair Ferguson says in his commentary on the Sermon on the Mount, if the words, as we also have forgiven our debtors, stick in our throats, if they cannot be spoken without the names and faces of those we have refused to forgive coming into our minds, then the first part of the prayer, forgive us our debts, falls to the ground. But if you call on His name and ask for the gift of forgiveness to cover your sins and also to let go of someone else's, you'll find much freedom and joy in the Lord to love Him and to love your neighbor, including the one who has sinned against you. And the love of the Lord lavished on you in the way of forgiveness, you will want to lavish on others freely and fully. One short application, congregation. In these COVID times, this is especially important. It's a lot of friction in the Christian community. A lot of offenses. Goodwill can sometimes wear thin. Conflict between brothers and sisters, grievances against one another, tempted to break fellowship with one another, rather than forgive grievances. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to practice the forbearance and the forgiveness of Christ. And if someone's comparatively small offense or grievance is so big you can't get out of the way, I want you to think about how huge the debt that Jesus paid for you. And when you think of that and accept that by faith, you'll have the grace to clear up the matters that stand between brothers and sisters and find renewed freedom and joy in the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we praise you that in the work of your Son on the cross, there is a lifetime of forgiveness, not only for our sins against you, but for the sins of others against us. We thank you, Lord, for teaching us to bring both these issues to you in prayer. The debts we owe to you, the debts others owe to us. We need help. We need to be forgiven. We need to forgive. And we pray that you will help us to live this life of the gospel, this gospel life. Help us to show, Lord, by the way we show mercy and love and seek and grant forgiveness, that we truly are imitators of God, children of the Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.